Lloyd encouraged you to read John chapter 17 this week, and I'd ask you to turn there at this time. John chapter 17, that high priestly prayer of Christ, his prayer for us, the night he was arrested and the night before his crucifixion. I asked the question this evening, what should the believer's relationship to the world be? Often we have said, and it's taken from this passage, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. What does that really mean? What does that really look like in a practical, everyday life? Are we to be isolated from the world? Are we to isolate ourselves off into our own little corner? We're still in it, but we're not of it. So does that mean we isolate ourselves off in a corner someplace? Does it mean that we assimilate into the world? What really does that look like? I believe here in John chapter 17 that Christ really mentions five different relationships that the believer has with the world. I believe he says in verse 6 that we are purged out of the world. Verse 11, we are present in the world. Verse 14, protection from the world. Verse 18, purpose into the world. And then verse 24, we prefer to be taken into a different world. Let's bow in prayer. Guide us, Father, this evening as we would consider this high priestly prayer of Christ in our relationship to this world. Help us to have the balance which Christ prays. Help us to understand what it looks like to be in this world but not of it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Help us, Father, to understand the world in which we live and our relationship to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice in verse 6, Christ praying to the Father says, I have manifested your name unto the men whom you have given me out of the world. Yours they were, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Christ speaks of the men whom the Father gave to him out of the world. And I would suggest, obviously, this is talking about our salvation. And in our salvation, we are purged out of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we're all familiar with it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, we are new creations. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we become a new creation. We become something new, something different. And that something different, we're told that we are actually saints. You know, some believe that to be a saint is a separate category for certain real spiritual Christians. That's not true at all. Everyone who has trusted Christ as their Savior is a saint, a holy one. The word holy is the idea of separation, separated from sin unto God. We are holy ones. We are separated ones. We are sanctified ones. We are purged out of the world. Romans chapter 6 talks about the fact that we are, when we trust Christ as Savior, we die to ourselves. We are buried and we are risen with a new life. And that new life is a sanctified life, a life that's set apart from sin unto God, set apart from the sin of this world unto God, purged out of the world. That is our salvation. Colossians 1, verse 13 says that we are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Purged out of the world. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. When we are regenerated, when we're saved, we are washed, we are cleansed, we are purged, if you will, out of this world. Ephesians chapter 5 also emphasizes that same thought. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." See, that is what salvation is all about. That we might be cleansed, that we might be holy, that we might be purged out of this world, that we might be presented to him without blemish and without spot and without wrinkle. Paul makes the statement, "I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me." What does that mean? What's it mean to be crucified on the world? What does it mean that the world is crucified unto me? Well, the thought is that I am to be a dead thing to the world, and the world is to be a dead thing to me, purged out of the world. That world which 1 John chapter 2 speaks of, that world which is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And we're not to love that world, that world which is ordered and organized behind Satan, that world which is governed by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's the world out of which we are to be purged. If we love that world, the love of the Father is not in us, John tells us in 1 John chapter 2. When we're saved, when we trust Christ as our Savior, when we love God, we don't love this world. We're purged out of this world. We are not governed by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Even the word church, as many of you are well aware, ecclesia, to call out of. We are called out of this world. We are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out ones. We're to be different. As we'll see in a few moments, we are still in this world, but we are to be different. We're purged out of it in that sense. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." We're to be purged out of this world, to be separate from the unclean thing of this world. That lust of the flesh, that lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Separate from that. James chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that if we are a friend of that world, we are the enemy of God. Not talking about the world of men per se, it's talking about this world that is governed by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if we're a friend of that world, we are the enemy of Christ, because that world is at enmity with God. We are purged out of that world. So yes, we are to be different. We're not to touch that unclean thing. We are to be without blemish and without spot. We are to be holy ones. "Be holy, for I am holy," God tells us. So we are purged out of the world. But then we come to verse 11, and Christ says, "I now am no more in the world." The next morning, Christ was nailed to the cross. And he recognizes and he knows that's what's coming. He says, I know that I'm going to be leaving this world. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. He says, I'm leaving this world, but these are still in this world. And he's talking here specifically with his disciples, but he's talking about us. We're purged out of the world in that sense that we are to be separate from the sin of this world, and yet we're still in this world. In fact, in verse 15, he specifically prays that we not be taken out of this world. He specifically prays that we be in this world. So we are different. We're purged out of it, and yet we are in this world. And you've heard me say this many times, and I repeat it again. We are different, but we're not supposed to be weird. We are in this world. For example, Joseph. He was sold into slavery. Ended up down in Egypt. A foreign country to him. A foreign culture to him. What did he do? Did he isolate himself from that foreign culture? No, he really, as time went on, assimilated into that culture. He became second in command in the whole nation. Obviously, he assimilated himself into that culture. Daniel, another example, taken captive into a foreign culture, away from his home. And what did Daniel do? He assimilated into that culture. He became second in command. Now, in that assimilation, they did not assimilate that which was against God. They did not assimilate that which was sin. In fact, Daniel's the perfect example. He was not going to eat of the king's food or drink of the wine which he drank, because that would have violated the command of God for him as a Jew. And so, as long as he could, as far as he could, he would accept the culture. If it violated Scripture, that's where he drew the line. And likewise, we are in this world. And we can assimilate into our culture as long as it doesn't violate the world. There we must draw the line. And just because the world does something doesn't make it wrong. And I'm thinking here of perhaps our Amish friends. The world drives cars, so they won't drive a car. Was driving a car sin? The world has electricity, so I won't have electricity. Was having electricity sin? The world has a telephone, so I won't have a telephone. Actually, that sounds like a pretty good idea. But I won't have a telephone because that's what the world... Well, just because the world does something doesn't in and of itself make it wrong. It's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's where we draw the line. And so, yes, we are different. We're purged out of the world. And yet we are in the world, and we don't have to be weird about it. We can accept the culture and the world around us as long as it does not violate Scripture. And that sometimes becomes difficult. And that's where we sometimes struggle. What is truly worldly in a sinful sense, and what is it that the world does that maybe isn't sinful? And we struggle with that sometimes. And we need God's wisdom. We need God's Word and His truth to guide us in those decisions. But we are in this world. And as we are in this world, of course, we are to be salt and light. That's really why God leaves us in this world. That's why Christ prayed that we not be taken out of this world. And we've said this many times too, if the only reason God saves me is so that I can go to heaven, then why didn't He take me to heaven the moment I accepted Christ? He left me here for a reason. He left me in this world for a reason. He left me here to be salt and light. Salt preserves against corruption. Am I being a preservation against the corruption of this world? Salt makes people thirsty. Am I making people thirsty for righteousness? Salt is used to season food and makes food taste good. When people look at my life and as I interact with people, do I make righteousness taste good to them? Salt. Light. Light exposes error. And yes, it is our responsibility to expose error, to speak that truth, as Jeremy said, in love, but to speak the truth, to expose error. If our car breaks down as we're driving down the road at nighttime, we need light to try to find out the problem, to expose the error. And we are the light to expose the sin, to speak that truth in love. Light dispels darkness. Are we dispelling the darkness around us through our testimony and through our witness? Light shows the way. If it's dark out, you need a flashlight to show the path. Are we showing people the way to Christ? Are we showing people the way to true joy in this life? Again, there's a lot of hurting people, a lot of suffering people, and they need somebody to show them the way to joy. Not necessarily happiness, but the way to true joy. We are in this world, and God's left us here for a reason. He also speaks here of not only purged out of the world and present in the world, but he talks about protection from the world. Protection from the world. Notice verse 14, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them. The world hates the true believer. And Christ warned us that would be the case. Because the world hated him, the world's going to hate his followers. Isn't that interesting? He prays that we not be taken out of this world, and at the same time he says, oh, by the way, the world's going to hate you. I've given him your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. Protection from the world. Christ prays that the Father would keep us, guard us, protect us. That's the word keep there, to guard and to protect. He's prayed that God would protect us, that God would keep us. See, it's not isolation, and it's not assimilation to the full extent of assimilating the world and its sin. It's not isolation, it's not assimilation, but it is insulation as God protects and keeps and guards us from that world that hates us. We cannot isolate ourselves from the world out of fear of contamination. Nor can we assimilate ourselves completely into the world out of apathy for that contamination. But we can be assured that God will protect us. And how does he do that? He prays that God would keep us and protect us from the evil one. And he says in verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them, set them apart through your truth. Your word is truth. God is going to protect us and keep us and guard us through his word. And that's why we read earlier from Psalm 119. How is a young man going to keep his way clean? By taking heed to his word. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. God is going to protect us from this world through his word. And as we study his word, as we apply his word, we have that protection of God through his word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. It's the word of God that's going to equip us. It's the word of God that's going to instruct us. It's the word of God that's going to protect us as we are in this world. Purged out of the world, present in the world, protection from the world. But then there is a purpose into the world. Verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Christ says, Father, you have sent me into this world, and now I'm going back to heaven, but I am sending them into the world. And he sends us into the world with a purpose. What was the purpose in which God sent the Son into the world? Well, in verse 4, Christ says, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. The Father sent the Son into the world to glorify the Father. And he glorified the Father by finishing the work which he sent him to do. And what was that work? Well, that word, he finished the work. And what was the cry on the cross? It is finished. He came into the world to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so he came to ultimately to glorify the Father, but he glorified the Father by finishing the work of redemption, to seek and to save that which was lost. And now he says, as you have sent me into the world, I send them into the world. He sends us into the world to glorify God. In fact, notice in verse 10, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. We are to glorify God. We are to glorify Christ. And we glorify Christ as Christ glorified the Father, as he finished the work that God gave him to do, as he finished the work of redemption. We are sent into the world with the message of redemption. We are sent into the world with the gospel to tell others of Christ so that they too might believe. In fact, he goes on and says in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, that is, these disciples that were with him, but for them also who shall believe on me through their word. The disciples were to speak the truth, to speak the gospel, the word of redemption, and there would be others who would believe. We're here tonight because the disciples and then others that followed them proclaimed that word, proclaimed that gospel. In verse 21, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. He has sent us into this world with a purpose. And that purpose is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to bring glory to the Father, to bring glory to our Savior. To share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that others might believe. There's a purpose as he sends us into this world. And then we come down to verse 24. We actually prefer to be taken to a different world. Christ prefers that we be taken to a different world in his time. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Christ says, Father, I really prefer that they be with me where I am. Now, he's already prayed that we not be taken out of the world, so he doesn't want us taken out before it's the right time, but when it's the right time, he says, that's really my preference, Father. I want them to be where I am. You know, we often think of our preference. You know, Paul made that clear in Philippians chapter 1. His preference was to be with Christ. He said he was really actually struggling. He was in jail in Rome and writing to the church in Philippi, and he says, you know, I'm facing the possibility of death, and if it was my choice, I'd probably choose death. Because to die is gain. And to be with Christ is far better, he says. That was Paul's preference, is to be with Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said the same thing. He said, we desire to be clothed upon with our house from heaven, that glorified body. He says, we don't desire to be unclothed, but clothed upon with that glorified body. And he says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that was his desire. He understood that until that time came, he had a purpose into this world, but there certainly was a preference to be in a different world, to be with Christ. And Christ expresses that as his preference. He wants us with him. And he's left us here for a purpose, and we need to fulfill that purpose, but the time's coming when Christ will have his desire fulfilled, whether that be through death or whether that be through the rapture. Christ will have his desire fulfilled, and we will be with him. He says when we are, he wants us to be with him and behold my glory. To see my glory. The word behold here is just the verb to see. But it's not simply the verb to see that just simply means to look upon. Not just the idea that Christ wants us with him just so that we can look upon his glory. It's really a word that refers to see and experience. The word is used elsewhere in Scripture. Every man will see death. Well, what's that mean? Well, it means every man's going to experience death. In the same thought here, he wants us to behold his glory. He wants us to see his glory. Not just that we look upon his glory, but that we will experience his glory ourselves. That's his desire, that we'd be with him and experience his glory. Indeed, we will have glorified bodies. We will see him and become like him. We'll experience his glory, and that's his desire. We prefer to be taken to a different world. Christ prefers that we be taken to a different world, but only at the right time. Until then, we're purged out of the world, we're present in the world, we're protected from the world, and we have a purpose into this world. May God help us to fulfill that purpose, to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to his glory. And then look forward to that time when we're taken to a different world. Let's bow in prayer. Father, what a joy it is to read these words this evening. I pray, Father, that we would have a better understanding of our relationship to this world. It's not isolation. It's not complete assimilation. We have your promise of protection as we are sent into this world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to your glory. Help us, Father, to fulfill that purpose, to occupy until you come. And we look forward to that time when you do come. We look forward to that time when we are taken to a different world, into your very presence, when we are glorified with you. Thank you, Father, for the hope that is ours in Christ. Help us to be faithful in serving you until that day comes. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall we stand? Again, Father, as we leave this place, we do go into this world. I pray that we might have your wisdom to know what to accept in this world and what not to touch. What is the unclean? I pray, Father, that you'd give us that wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. May God bless you.